write in, and it's going to be 7 days to rediscover. I'm not sure what title is going to be yet. 7 days of rediscovery or something, but it's going to be okay. It's going to be good. But every morning, and how many's been doing this? Every morning, with all the things you got, you've been reading this thing out loud to yourself. You don't have to read all 4 days every morning unless you want to, but it's always good to at least one day put them in order, and one day read one day read the next. And of course, I'm just going to briefly go over these from the ones we've already gone over. Day one, my new family. The lie is I can't feel value unless I'm loved and accepted by my family. And I'm going to tell you all, this stuff really, really works. It works not only for you, but it's an awesome tool if you're trying to help somebody find where they're having problems. If you can read these lies to them and say, "Now, tell me if this is how you feel. Tell me which one describes you," and you can actually help pinpoint problems in people's lives. So this is really, really some good stuff. Day one, my new family. Lie, I can't feel valuable unless I'm loved and accepted by my family and the significant people in my life. The truth is, I have God-given value because I've been placed into a new family where I'm unconditionally loved and accepted by God. You're chosen by God, adopted by God, you're His child, and you're born again. Day two, I never feel value because this is just the way I am. I cannot change. The truth is, I have a God-given value because God has changed me on the inside and given me new characteristics. I'm a new creation. I have a new nature. I have a new heart. I have a new spirit. And I have a new mind. Day three, new clothing. Lie, I can't feel I have value unless I live in the right neighborhood, drive the right car, wear the right clothes. The truth is, I have a God-given value because I have a new residence in God's kingdom, a new clothing of Christ. I'm clothed with Christ, baptized in Christ, hidden in Christ, sealed with the Spirit of Christ, and I've been given the full armor of God. Day four, my new life. The lie is, my life has no value since I've done so many things wrong. My life is ruined. But the truth is, I have God-given value, for I've been given a new life in Jesus Christ. I am redeemed, which means to be bought back. I am washed, which means to be cleaned up. I am purified, which means to be propped up. I'm justified, means I can face up. I can face God. And I'm sanctified. I'm washed up. And I don't mean washed up as in you're through, but washed up in now you're clean. All right? Now, here's tonight's. Now, again, I'm going to read the first part of this, and then we're going to go on into saying, what's your real identity? What is an identity? Is an identity something you're born with, or is it something changeable, or something you're never able to change? And, of course, I've already answered that. We're all born with certain characteristics. You can look at my youngins, my boys, you can tell I'm their dad. You can look at my dad and tell he's my dad. You look at, you know, it's really kind of funny because my dad at one time started combing his hair down. And so I was getting out of the shower, I combed my hair back. And so I got out of the shower one day and I combed my hair down just for a minute before I pushed it back. And my wife says, "Don't do that." And I said, "Well," she says, "you look like your daddy." I went, "Okay." DC, he combed his hair forward, not back. And he got out of the shower and combed his hair back. And his wife said, "Please don't do that." And he said, "Why?" I said, "Because you look like your daddy." I got me and my daddy a shirt for Father's Day with John Wayne on it, said "Old Guys Rule." And I got a picture of my dad standing side by side. And I can remember the years I was around his waist and I was reaching up to him and I was standing on my tiptoes. And this time I got my arm around him and he's under me. And I said, "Oh, you know," so it's amazing how things change. DC comes along, makes me feel like a little bitty fella. So here we go. We're all born with certain characteristics, but there's not just the characteristics we're born with. Also, where you're at, your surroundings, and your input has a lot to do with your identity also. So you still can have, there was twin brothers that were separated at birth. They rediscovered each other in their 40s. This is in New York. They rediscovered themselves in their 40s. When they rediscovered each other and got together, they found out that both of them were firemen. Both of them liked the same thing. Both of them had the same hobbies. And I mean, it was just amazing how much alike they were, and they had never even talked to each other, didn't even know each other. So there's certain characteristics. But then, again, your environment, your inputs can change it. So, and also, once you get saved, a lot of things will change. So here's 7 days have 7 days to claim in your identity in Christ. In order for Christians to walk in victory, we need to identify the lies we believe about ourselves and exchange it for the truth about who we really are in Christ. Consider the 7 lies we tell ourselves, the 7 truths from God's Word, and the 7 truths from God's Word. For lasting change, we must cast aside the lies and rely on God's truth. How many in here knows what legalism is? Legalism is performance-based, and it's based on rules. And if you're some churches, ours doesn't, but some churches, and I've been a part of some early on, that were very legalistic, performance-based, based on rules. And if you follow the rules and did like they said, you were holy before God. But you know what? That's so far from the truth. It's not based on what man tells me. It's based on what God tells me. Well, there's still people today, and I counsel with them today. I mean, in this day and time, there's people that I know in my own family that aren't even religious. They have nothing to do with God, but they're very legalistic toward themselves. Okay? What do I mean legalistic toward themselves? A lot of times it's because they have a low self-worth, that they feel like they have to be performance-based, and they feel like they got to follow a certain set of rules, and they'll even become perfectionist. When you see that going on, it's because they have that self-legalism. I know at times I find myself with self-legalism. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about the way I handle myself. And I think, well, if I follow the rules, if I perform right, then everything will be fine. Not realizing, you know, that can be far from the truth. So here's what happens here. My new image. Day 5. You got 2 more days coming. Day 5, my new image. I only put 1 here instead of 2 because I really want you to stop and think about this. You know, do you know that if you really want to have a good life, you're going to have to learn how to not be performance-based? Because if you're performance-based and based on rules, you're afraid to step out of the mold. You're afraid to step out of the box. You're afraid to reach out and try something new. You want to really have some fun? Laugh at yourself. The funniest person you'll ever meet is the one you look at in the mirror every day. Nobody else may not think you're funny, but you're the funniest person you know, because you're always doing something kind of wild. You're always doing something kind of crazy. You know, Linda and I, we laugh at each other all the time. I laugh at myself. She laughs at me. I laugh at her. You know, it's just you got to laugh. Number one, laughter does good as a medicine, the Bible tells us. A merry heart, laughter. And also laughing, a good old belly laugh. You know, a good old belly laugh, if you can have a few of them a day, it does the same exercise as running. Wow. So instead of me running across the street, I just laugh. I pull 3 stooges out, laugh at them. Good old hearty belly laugh. Oh, look in the mirror and laugh at me. Amen. I'm trying to think of what I did last night. I did something so funny last night. And I couldn't stop laughing. And Linda said, "Have you lost it?" And I said, "Yeah, that's why I'm laughing." Yeah, I can't remember what it was now. But and then last night, I was at the hospital last night. Shirley Goodness and Mercy Straker was up there in the emergency room. So I went to see her. And when I got ready to leave, I stopped. I was hungry. So I stopped at Chick-fil-A, and I got out, and there was a guy there. His arms were that big around. He looked like his arms were bigger than my thighs. And he had this great old big tattoo of a city across his arm. And I walked by, and I said, "Wow." And then I couldn't resist it. You know how shy I am. So I walked over there and said, "Man, there's some big arms." And he just said, "Excuse me, sir." And his girlfriend or wife was sitting there with him. And she starts kind of, you know, giggling. I said, "Can I ask you a personal question?" He says, "Uh-huh." I said, "When you got that tattoo, did they give you a group rate?" And he looked at me like, "Huh?" And she was cackling. She said, "Because your arm's so big, you got more than one tattoo." He goes, "Oh, okay." So then I thought about a thing, big arm, little brain. Okay. Learn to laugh at yourself. Don't be afraid to try something new. And don't be afraid to fail. If you're legalistic to yourself, you're afraid to fail. You're afraid to laugh at yourself. If you're legalistic toward yourself, you'll walk around stiff all the time. Scared you're going to mess up. Amen. Don't be afraid to mess up. Go ahead. Step out in the box. Here it is. Here's the lie. Lie number five. There's seven lies. We already went over the first four. This is number five. Lie number five. My life has value as long as I look good to others. There's some people you're going to look good to no matter what you do. There's some people you ain't going to look good no matter what you do. Did you know every person, this is a psychological fact, 10 to 20% of the people you know will never really engage with you and may even not even like you. And the problem is instead of us embracing the 80 to 90% and enjoying it, we try our best to impress that 10 to 20% that aren't going to like you anyway. Wow. Think of all the things we miss out on. Because all it's crazy, isn't it? So here we are. Here we are. People, I mean, how many ever think people are talking about you? I mean, there was one guy who couldn't even go to football games. He always thinking people were talking about him. He couldn't even go to football games because every time the team got in the huddle, he thought they were talking about him. Watch this. You don't have to impress others. I like what one guy said. We spend money we don't have for things we don't need to impress people we don't like. Wow. Brain dead. Yeah. Big arms, little brain. All right. Here we go. Here's the truth. I have God-given value even though I have fallen in the past and may stumble in the future. He has given me a new image. Too many times we look in the mirror and again, I'm going to tell you something. Here's what you do in the morning. Matter of fact, do it tonight. Do it in the morning. Do it at night. Do it when you get in your car. I want you to practice something for me. Whenever you get in your car and adjust your rearview mirror, whenever you get up in the morning, look in the mirror, whenever you go to bed at night, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look in the mirror, and I want you to smile. Smile. And say this. When God made me, he was showing off. I'm not trying to teach you to be self-centered. I'm just trying to teach you to stop being so hard on yourself. Well, I look in the mirror and think, well, you know what? It'd be better if my beard was thicker over here. It'd be better if my hair weren't so white up here. Or it'd be better if my eyes were a different color or weren't so far apart or weren't so close together. Or, you know, we always criticize them. So just look in the mirror. Like DeFonz has got it. On happy days, he just goes, looks in the mirror and pulls his cane up and goes, hey, and puts his cane back up. Look in the mirror in the morning and at night and just hit on, just practice it for a little while. Not to be self-centered, just to try to get your mind off of being so hard on yourself. Just look at yourself and smile and say, when God made you, he was showing off. All right? Y'all want to try that? Will you try it? Nobody's got to hear you say it. Okay? You ain't got to. It's not like you said, I don't want anybody to hear me say that. You ain't got. Nobody ain't got to hear it. Here we go. Remember, God doesn't do anything halfway. You say, well, how come the doctor had to go to the doctor to get healed one time? One time I got prayed for and got healed, and I had to go to the doctor next time. How come I'm still walking with a limp? How come I still don't have this and that done? Blah, blah, blah. Hold on. Just because the limb is you're still limping, or just because you're still taking blood pressure medicine, just because it still does not mean God did something halfway. God's got a plan for your life. And God never wastes your pain. Ever. And wherever you're hurt, wherever you got hurt at the worst, I can promise you, you're going to be able to minister to somebody else the best that's going through a similar situation. People don't want to hear somebody that's never been through anything tell them anything. Hold on, I got some. I got a lifesaver. It says artificial fly. It's the dust bunny. Yeah, but then I'm having an artificial call from these artificial flowers. Actually, we already decided, me and Sister Jeanette, it's from the dust bunnies. I'm allergic to dust bunnies. Okay. Okay. If God has not totally healed you, or if God hadn't totally changed something, and you're thinking, well, I should be up on this, that, remember this, he doesn't do anything halfway. So, number one, he could still be in the process of making it. Or he could be using you, changing you in the process of it not changing. Okay? So remember, he didn't do anything halfway. He knows what's going on. So, here it is. This right here, I want you to be able to say this to yourself. It's me looking in the mirror. I don't want you to be legalistic. I'm totally, y'all say totally. I'm totally accepted by Christ. Wow. Totally accepted by Christ. Isn't that awesome? Totally accepted by Christ. There are certain people that honestly will not ever totally accept you. Unless you meet their criteria. Not only are they legalistic about themselves, they're legalistic about you. But guess what? Christ totally accepts me. He says, and here's what he says. He says, I want you to accept one another then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring the praise to God. Welcome and receive to your hearts one another then, even as Christ has welcomed and received you for the glory of God. One translation says, Jesus did it, now you do it. Learn to accept people. They don't have to fit in your mold. That's why we're called the body of Christ. Some of us are hands, some of us are feet, some of us are a nose, some of us are an ear. I dare to say this, but some of us are the mouth. No. So again, so here we go. Totally, y'all say it. Totally accepted by Christ. You know, marriages would be a whole lot better if we could learn to listen carefully, unconditionally accept. Didn't say accept him unconditionally. I know that sounded like I'm talking out both sides of the mouth. Unconditionally accept, meaning they don't have to be perfect for me to accept them. Now, if they're doing things that's dangerous to us, doing things that's dangerous to you, that's, you don't accept that. I'm talking about unconditionally accept. Learn that none of us are perfect. Right? Number two. Here's a good one. I'm totally blameless before Christ. Totally blameless before Christ. Now, let's just stop here for a minute. Let's camp out here. It says that he has reconciled, and this is awesome. He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. Yet now has Christ the Messiah reconciled you to God in the body of his flesh through death in order to present you holy and faultless and irreproachable in his Father's presence. And then, of course, the message just ties the bow in this thing, in the ribbon. But now, by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together whole and holy in his presence. Wow. You know, I just recently, I happened to overhear somebody. They were going through something. I was at the hospital, and you get to hear a whole lot of stuff at the hospital. especially if you're sitting in Pitt Memorial Hospital in the emergency room, because there's people everywhere. And I was sitting there, and something had happened to her, and immediately, they said, God must be punishing me because of blank, blank, blank. And of course, I normally keep my mouth shut. And I said, excuse me. And they said, well, if I hadn't gone out and done this, then this wouldn't have happened. And all I could think of was, here's legalism to the max. And I said, oh, you got this thing all wrong. I said, you got it way wrong. Matter of fact, this might not be happening to you for you. This could be happening to you for somebody else to see how you react to it so they'll be drawn closer to God. By the time we got to talking to him, oh, cool, that are all right with it. But at the time, it was really bad because here they were blaming themselves. If I hadn't been so bad, then God would allow this to happen to me. We are blameless before God. Y'all say blameless. Yeah, because I'm telling you what, it's like the guy said, whenever my wife gets mad at me, she gets, whenever I do something wrong, my wife gets historical. And then I said, don't you mean hysterical? She said, no, historical. She remembers everything I've done from the day we met each other. And she brings it all up. I'm blameless before Christ. Let me read this another way here. Let's see where we're at. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, Christ made virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, while we ought to be approved and acceptable in the right relationship with him by his goodness. So, we're accepted. Even if you don't think anybody around you is accepting you for it, look, no. I accept you even with all your flaws. You know why I accept you even with all your flaws? You know why? Because God accepts me with all my flaws. He didn't say get perfect and come to the cross. He said come as you are. He'll take care of the rest. So, here we go. Number 3, I am totally righteous in Christ. Wow, I just read that one. Let's see. Number 4, I'm totally complete in Christ. Totally complete in Christ. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness, made complete in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. And here it is, for in him, the whole fullness of the deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. And you are in him, made full, having come to fullness of life. In Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. And he is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. I love this one. Listen to this. Everything of God gets expressed in him, so you can see and hear him clearly. Listen, you don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the infiniteness of the universe without him. When you come to him, that fullness comes together for you to his power and extends over everything. And then, perfect. Now, let me change this word. There's two words for perfect here. The one word for perfect is to be mature, and the other word for perfect is to be without spot or blemish. And so, let me see if my phone will pick up in here. Modern technology is awesome if it works. You hear me? If it works. Okay. By one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So, for one offering, he hath perfected forever. That word perfected means to complete. Well, matter of fact, here's the word. It's teleos in the Greek, teleos. And it actually, do this. I'll do that. What's that? A full circle. So in Christ's sacrifice, we have made a full circle. We're complete. Doesn't mean that we're flawless. It means that we're mature. And God has done something within us. So, it's very important that you understand, people talk about the old man is dead. But it's amazing how he rises up on Monday morning. If he's dead, there's a resurrection every Monday morning. That word dead means rendered helpless. Okay? So, next thing, here, once you write this down, you got your pencil, write this down. Avoid self-legalism. Write it down. Avoid self-legalism, which is performance-based and rule-based. R-U-L-E. It's performance-based and rule-based. It is a much higher and unrealistic standard than God's law. Then right underneath it, learn to step out of the box. Learn to laugh at yourself. And learn not to be afraid to fail. And if you do fail, don't be afraid to get back up. Very beginning. Learn to step out of the box. Learn to laugh at yourself. Don't be afraid to fail. And if you do fail, don't be afraid to get back up. Again, legalism says you shouldn't fail. If you follow these rules, you're not going to fail. Self-legalism also says if you fail, you don't deserve to get back up. I refuse to hold myself hostage by legalism. I'm not talking about religious legalism now. I'm talking about self-legalism. This right here is worth the price of admission. Now, is there any questions? Any suggestions? Any questions? That's right. That's right. And laughing at myself, you know, I remember, this is really wild. This is probably a far out illustration, but I was at Fountain. And of course, because I was a manager, and some people had the weirdest thought, you got to be good around him or he's going to make sure you get fired. I tell them, y'all calm down. Y'all chill out. Chill out. It's okay. I'm David. And I remember one day I was stepping off a boat. And DC was in the boat. And a couple other guys. And they were doing the final work up in the front of the boat. Wiring it. And I got ready to step out. And when I did, my foot slipped off of what I was standing on. And so I straddled the side of the boat. And I straddled the side of the boat. I fell over and was hanging by my leg. And I'm upside down looking. There's DC and other guys that are going. And I said, first I got up. When I got up, I said, fellas, it's okay to laugh. That really was funny. Of course, they took me too serious. And then they about fell out of the boat laughing. But again, I told them, it's okay. Laugh at yourself. Somebody messed up at work. I just say, look, just laugh. And I remember DC and Daniel, I taught them how to fish. We were in Benson, and we were in a pond. And we're in that pond, the boys were just learning how to fish. And we went fishing two or three times a week. Sometimes we spend 30 minutes, sometimes we spend an hour, sometimes we spend a couple hours. So get your homework done, because the creek was just a little ways close to the house, right by the house. Get your homework done, we'll go to the creek or the pond. And I remember the first couple of times we went out there, they would lose those lures. And they would go, oh, Danny, we're sorry. Danny, we're so, so sorry. And I said, are we learning how to fish yet? And they go, well, we're learning. I said, have you learned to listen to Daddy yet? Well, we're learning. And I said, do you realize Walmart sells them every day? And they go, okay. And they lose another lure, and they go, oh, and I go, calm down. Walmart sells them every day. Let's learn how to fish. It took them a good while. It cost a lot of money for them to learn how to fish. And once they learned how to fish, but what was so funny was after about the second week, whenever they lose a lure, I look over at them and go, I know, Walmart makes them every day. Or sells them every day. And I see DC lose one, and he goes, oh, I lost another one. Danny goes, Walmart sells them every day. And we'd all have a good old chuckle. Learn to laugh, as she said. Laugh. Laugh. You'll feel a whole lot better. Amen. Any more questions, answers, comments? What are you going to do when you go home? You look in the mirror and like, yeah, this is trying to have a good laugh tonight. Well, if you're looking at mirror, smile and say, look, say, when God, I'm not pushing pride. I'm just telling you, you got to break that legalistic spirit that we have on ourselves. We're too hard on ourselves. We beat ourselves up. Let me ask you a question. How many times do you look in the mirror and go, that was stupid? How many times do you look in the mirror and go, what were you thinking? Or look in the mirror and go, or look in the mirror, oh yeah, or look in the mirror and go, you know what? If I was you, I don't know. Stop it. Stop it. Learn to laugh at yourself. Now, if you're not learning, then we're going to have a problem because you're going to keep on messing up. You need to still learn. Don't get me wrong. But look, remember, when God made me, he was showing. You know why? Because there's only one like you. Only one. Let's not be in vain. It's not a vain thing. It's everybody every last one. I have identical twin brothers 3 minutes apart. And from a distance, their own daughters couldn't tell them apart at times. I could tell them apart. And I know they've got different interests, very much different interests. But they do look a lot alike. A lot. A lot alike. Okay, so any more? Everybody through? Everybody cool? Let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you for this night. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, that you can make something fresh and new out of us. And Lord, that we need to quit beating ourselves up. Lord, when you're teaching us a lesson, help us to learn it. And help us, Lord, not to be stuck in that learning curve. Help us to move on through and learn. But God, if we don't get it right the first time, laugh at ourselves and keep on going. And I thank you for that ability. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. There is one thing you don't laugh at yourself if you miss it the first time. And that's if you're a detonator, a bomb detonator. You won't have time to laugh at yourself.